UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I hope you're all having a good week and getting into the Christmas spirit. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our guest tonight is Michael, coming to us from the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And back in the fall of 1988, Michael was camping and fishing with his friend and brother when he witnessed a UFO in a field. And when Michael got back to camp and explained to them both what he had just witnessed, another UFO comes along, hovering over the lake. Michael is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing pretty good. Great to have you with us today, and you're calling from Mississippi.
Right, yeah, the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Right down there in the south.
As far south as you can get unless you go to Florida.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, Michael, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, I'll do that. So, growing up, I guess probably attracted to a lot of the subjects that would, you know, be considered paranormal, but aliens and UFOs was actually not one of those subjects. I don't know why. It's actually kind of cool when you look into it, but yeah, that's not one of the things I was ever interested in. But that changed when I was, and actually I have to say, this is November 22nd. I was 15 years old. That was 35 years ago. It happened actually nearly 35 years ago. My birthday is on the 10th of November. And the incident that I'm talking about actually happened on the 11th of November of 1988. My friend and my brother, with my best friend and my brother, we were going to go camping and go fishing. And we were going to go and set up camp and have everything ready so that we could wake up early. And, you know, we were camping next to a lake. Now, the place that I lived, now this happened in Shepherd, Texas. And the place that I lived, it was called Lake Choctaw. And Lake Choctaw has a history of it's almost akin to, I would almost say, Skinwalker Ranch in a sense, but not exactly. We weren't experiencing like the giant wolves and things like that. No, but there were a lot of things that did happen out there that were odd. For example, one thing, there was an old man who did have a cabin next to that lake. And when I talked to him, he used to tell me, I asked him, like, what would he do there? Because I just thought at the time, you know, I'm just a kid. And I'm thinking, why are you just sitting out here drinking beer, staring at the lake? And that's actually what I asked him. And he told me, I like watching the ball lightning. And he told me about the different colored ball lightning. And I thought the man was crazy. Well, again, we were going to go camping and we get everything there. And I realized that the clock that we brought, it didn't have, the battery had fallen out of it. And so we weren't able to actually set the alarm. We didn't know what time it was. So I decided that I'm going to go back home and it's almost getting dark. And so they were going to stay there, my brother and my best friend. They were going to stay there where we were going to camp while I went back home. And I was just going to kind of jog because, you know, I'm by myself. I didn't really want to be out there in the dark either. And it was dark. Now, the road that we would go down, it's like a circular road that would go around the entire place. We just called it the lease. It was a lease. And there was a circle that went all the way around, and then there was another one that would go right through the middle of it that kind of cut that circle in half. I'm following the circle back around, and where I lived was, as you came in, as you're coming in off the main, like you're coming in off the main road, you're coming into the lease, there was a gate. And then once you get inside of that gate, you know, you would just go down a little ways. And on the left, we lived there. And it was where it was almost like driving into a tunnel of trees because it was a canopy of trees over our home and on both sides of the street. Now, but before you got there, on the right-hand side, there was a field. And the field was worked by a man named Schrader, Mr. Schrader. And we knew him as kids. He would always tell us, you know, keep an eye on the field for me. And so we would see him when he would be out there. And there were a few times that he was out there late. And when he was out there late, you would see his tractor, and that big tractor would have these lights on it. But whenever I came down the road, as I'm coming back to go home to, you know, get the batteries and to, you know, work, do the clock, as I'm coming back on the right hand side, almost at the very back of the field, there's a light there. I thought it was, you know, the light of the tractor, but then I thought, well, there's just one light, and his tractor had two lights on the top. And so as I'm seeing this light, I start to walk slow. And let's say I was running, I was kind of jogging, trying to get home quickly. But when I saw that light, I stopped, and I'm just walking real slowly watching this light. And as I get up to the fence of that field, I look to the right to see, was Mr. Schrader's truck there? Or, you know, did I see anything with a gate open for that field? But it wasn't. And as I'm looking, and I noticed, like I said, that he's not there, and I'm trying to understand, what is this light? And as the light just starts to lift up, and it gets to about tree level, and it just starts coming toward me. But as I said, it was on the back right hand side of the field, and it starts coming toward the middle of the field and forward and to the center of the field. And I don't know what to think. I was kind of froze. At first, I thought, what is this helicopter doing out here? And it wasn't until it got, you know, nearly to the center of the field that I realized that it's not making any sound. And I was kind of, I'd have to say, I was kind of a bit froze for a moment. I just didn't know what to think because I've just watched this, you know, this light lift up. I mean, it's just wild. It's crazy to see. But then I don't know how to explain it, but I felt really excited. And our home, like I said, was just a little further down this dirt road to the left. And I wanted to see this thing better. And I ran, and the thing was, my father had just bought binoculars like that week, and I knew where I knew where they were. And that was the first thing that came to my mind, was like, if I, when I wanted to see this better, I thought I can, you know, I'll just run home, get in the house really fast and get those binoculars and come back. And so I took off. I wanted to see this thing closer. And I took off, and I got, once I went into the canopy, like I said, it's already dark. But once I went into that canopy, it's so hard to see. There were no lights on. To truth be, we were very poor and we had no electricity at the time. And this light, it followed me as I went to, as I went home, it came, it kind of followed behind me, and it stopped at the front left corner of the field behind the trees. And through the trees, you could see like the rays of light come through, this extremely bright blue white light, and it lit up that entire place, like almost like daytime, but it was just a different color. It was just a, like I say, a blue white color. And I was shaking, trying to get the key in the lock and get it open. And I finally got it open, and I ran in, and the binoculars were right there. I grabbed them and I come running out. And as I ran out, that light drifted away. And I have to say, now this is one thing I didn't mention. It looked like a single light when it was on the ground. And when it lifted up, I don't know at what point that it changed, but it was almost as if I realized that it wasn't just a ball of light, but it was. Whenever I first saw it, that is what it was. It was just a ball of light there. But as it came forward, at some point, I don't know when, but it turned into a triangle. And I mean, like as if you're looking at a pyramid, not triangular. Like I see a lot of the UFO pictures where like a flat triangle. I mean, it was like a pyramid standing up. It had these, and the lights looked like as if they were a light on each corner. And so it, at some point, like I say, changed from being a ball to this pyramid with looked like three lights. And when I come running back out, it drifted away from me back toward the center of the field, but it didn't quite go back as far as it did before. So it was closer, and I'm trying to get the binoculars out, and I'm just staring at this thing the whole time, and I'm trying to lift it up, and my hands were shaking. I didn't realize how much I was shaking until I tried to lift the binoculars up. And something that actually odd, kind of, I would say odd, because as I lifted the binoculars to my eyes, and I didn't think about this till later, but I feel whatever that was, I feel like it knew I was about to burn my own eyes out with these binoculars looking at this light because it was so bright. And as I was trying to hold the binoculars up, like I said, I was shaking too much really to hold them. But as I'm trying to pull them up, those lights turned off, but they went off like stadium lights, you know, slowly. They didn't just turn off. They just dimmed down until they were off. And then once I couldn't hold the binoculars steady, and I had to put it on the fence. I propped the binoculars on the fence and was trying to look through there. And I realized that it was just like a disc shape. I don't know how it was ever, you know, the ball shape or the pyramid shape, because it had the light on the top. Like I said, it looked like lights on three corners, but there were no corners. And there was no point at the top for there to be a light there. I don't know how that worked. I just know that there were three lights. They turned off. There was nothing there. It wasn't that far. That's the thing. It was not that far from me. This thing was probably, I'd say, 50 to 60 yards away. It wasn't that far. And when I tried to look through it with the binoculars, I realized that there was nothing there other than just this disc. I was trying to see if, you know, I don't know, for some reason in my mind, I was looking for windows. I don't know why I thought that, but I, you know, I never saw a UFO before. And so I'm looking to try to see if I can see through a window, but all I could see was these small lights on at the toward the bottom, and they were just flashing like different colors. They were really small lights. And I can't say really how long this lasted. I was just froze staring at it. Eventually, I stopped looking, trying to look through the binoculars because it was too difficult. And I'm just staring at it. And as I stopped looking, you know, through the binoculars, those lights seemed to get a little brighter. And after actually what seemed to be an eternity, it really felt like a long time that I was there. That disc started to drift backward to about the same position it was in when it very first came forward. And it rested there for, like I said, I don't know how long, but several minutes. And then all of a sudden, as if it was attached to a rubber band that was stretched out and just let go, and it just shot up. And when it shot up, whatever speed it was going, it was almost as if it started off at top speed. It just, that's the only thing I can come up with to compare it to, is as if it was attached to the bottom of a rubber band, you know, allowed to go. And I stared, it just went so high to where it just turned to I watched it turn into like a dot, and I just couldn't stop staring at it until it, you know, went away. And I left the binoculars there and everything. I ran to go back to the place we were camping. And when I got there, now to me, I say that lasted a long time, but I mean in minutes. You know, I can't imagine standing there looking at a UFO for too long without it, you know, leaving. But anyways, it just seemed like a long time, as in minutes. But I went back, friend and brother, and I'm trying to tell them, and they're already asleep. They're in the inside of the tent sleeping. And I start, you know, shaking. I grab my friend by the leg, and I'm trying to tell him, you know, hey, man, I saw a UFO. I saw a UFO. I saw a UFO. I kept saying that. And it woke him up. They were like dead asleep. And he's looking at me like wiping his eyes. He's like, where have you been? And I just saw a UFO. He's like, man, what are you drinking? I said, dude, I saw a UFO. And my brother had woken up, and he's staring at me. And he said the same thing. Where have you been? I said, I saw a UFO. I kept repeating, I saw a UFO. Well, actually, they were like, whatever, you know, and started to lay back down. And actually, to be honest with you, it made me mad. Because to me, I just saw the most insane thing I've ever seen in my life. And I'm trying to tell them, and I'm immediately not being believed. And I'm, yeah, just mad. And so as I started to tell him again, but as I turned, because like I said, I was mad, I turned, and over the lake, there was another light coming, just a blue light. I don't know how to explain it. It was like a blue, soft light. And it looked like about the size of a large beach ball. At least that's what it looked like to me at the time. Well, when I saw that, I yelled, there's another one, there's another one, there's another one. And he looked at me. I leaned in, I grabbed him by his leg, and I started pulling him out, and he sat up. I grabbed him by his hair and pulled him out and like pointed his head at the light. I said, there. And then he stood up, and then my brother came out, and this light was moving so slow. They were able to put their shoes on, and actually, I believe he tied his shoes. I don't remember now, but I know that we were walking following this thing, and it was coming over the lake. Well, when we came back to, you know, we're going to follow this thing. And like I said before, this lease, it had a road that went all the way around it. And then it had the one that cut through the middle, which it wasn't much of a road. It was almost more of a pathway. We walked over there, and we waited for it to come toward us, and we walked behind it. And we followed that thing. We walked all the way back to where I told them I saw the first one. It went right to that same place. And it did the same thing. When it got to that part where the other one had shot into the sky, this blue globe, it's like it turned off. And then these little lights underneath of it turned on. And it, the same thing, like I said, as if it was attached to a rubber band and just, you know, let go. And it was in the sky. It was like in space almost instantly. And I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was, and so of course me, I'm saying like, I told you, you know, it went back to the same place. This is where I told you it went. And like I said, I had left the binoculars there, and I realized then that the binoculars were still on the fence post. I grabbed the binoculars. Okay, now here's another thing. My parents were out of town. We were there alone. My parents were out of town, and they were coming in the morning. And I grabbed the binoculars and the box that they were in, and we went back home. And I couldn't help, but that's all we were talking about. And I immediately grabbed a sketchbook and was just trying to sketch all the different ways that I saw it as it was a, you know, again, that's when I really started to realize, hey, wait a minute, that thing changed from a ball to a pyramid, you know, that's really when I really, that kind of sunk in, but I could still never tell you like when that happened. So I immediately just start drawing sketches of this, you know, trying to, from when I very first saw it and what, you know, when it followed me, and I'm kept, you know, and of course I just kept retelling the story to them. And it didn't seem like long. It started to get light. And my parents were coming home at that time. They were coming home, like, I don't know exactly what time it was, but it wasn't far after daybreak, long after daybreak. And I'm telling them, I'm excited telling them about it. And I'm telling my dad. Now, my dad, he was actually, I guess, into UFOs. I didn't know that he was much into UFOs. And I knew that, you know, we would talk about ghosts and, you know, paranormal stuff. And I don't really even recall talking to him about UFOs much at all, you know. But anyways, after I told him, I'm showing him these drawings, and he's like, where was it? You know, show me. We go out there. And when we got out there, and this is like as the sun's coming up over the tree line of what would have been the side of the tree line on the side of the field closer to our home. And we're looking at this, we're going to go try to see if it left any, you know, were there any like impressions in the ground? And we didn't see impressions in the ground, but what we saw was something that looked like cotton candy in a circle. It was a white cotton candy. And whenever we saw that, my dad told me it's called angel hair. I'd never heard of that before. He said it was called angel hair. And I ran home and got a mayonnaise jar, an old, you know, cleaned out mayonnaise jar, and took a stick and just started scraping that stuff in there into this mayonnaise jar because I wanted to save it. Because to me, I'm like, we have to turn this in. We have to look, we have to get this analyzed. I mean, I was all about, we have to report this. We have to do this. We have to do that. While we were standing out there, as the sun completely came up, and as the, you know, it's like there's dew on the grass and the sun comes up and the sun starts to dry the dew off the grass. And we're still out there talking, you know, now I think my mother came out there and I believe someone else may have come out there. But as the sun come up, we realized that all of that stuff, it just evaporated or something, that angel hair stuff, it evaporated. And whenever I went and picked up the jar, it looked like there was nothing in there. I don't know what happened to it. It just looked like it evaporated. But I brought it home. I kept that for a while. Then odd things started happening. Well, first off, I saw a line inside of my thumbnail, under my thumbnail, under my left thumbnail. I saw this line that was about, I don't know, I guess about a quarter inch long. And this was some days after, actually. And I took a needle and just started scraping and scraping and scraping and scraping until I got down to that thing. I don't know why, but I had this feeling like, you know, there's something there. I don't know why, but I just had a feeling there's something there. I picked it out and it was like metal. You know, it made me think of like a metal bristle off of a, you know, wire brush. But I was thinking, there's no way that could have gotten under there. After I took that out, I put it in a little jar, a little pimento jar. I wanted to save it because I felt for some reason I don't know why, but I didn't think of anything about being abducted. I didn't actually, honestly, at that time, I didn't know anything about abduction, so it never crossed my mind. But for some reason, I did think that somehow that was connected, and I don't even know why I connected it to that, because like I said, I didn't know anything about abductions. At the time, most that I knew of was about the cows. In my mind, I just remember them being like dropped out of UFOs and, you know, have their lips cut off and tongues and, you know, the cattle mutilation stuff. That was as far as I knew anything about abductions. So again, I don't know why I connected that, but I did. And so, like I said, I pulled that out. I saved it in the pimento jar, and I would check my fingernails every day after that. I would just keep checking my fingernails. And periodically, another one would just appear, and I would dig it out and get it out. And it was the same thing. And I was adding these little wire bristles to, you know, into this pimento jar. Now, after that whole thing happened, I didn't know why, but I started developing anxiety, and I didn't know what anxiety was, but I started having anxiety attacks, and I started having weird dreams. And one of the dreams that I was having was that I was a child about 5 years old. And I remembered, it was like in this dream, I was dreaming of something. That's what it seemed like. I'm dreaming of something that happened. And near that lake, my grandmother had a cabin there. And in front of that cabin was a small field. It was kind of like a yard for her cabin. And in the dream, I was standing in that field at nighttime, and these lights were coming over the tree line from where the lake was at. And it was these different colored lights coming out. And there was these discs that would come out. Hey, as if you drop a quarter on a table and it just makes that, you know, goes around and around, not on the top edge end, but when it's like almost about to stop spinning and it's going to go flat. It was like these lights that were discs were coming out. They were going around me like that, almost as if it was a game. I remember laughing and watching these lights, but I'd never dreamed that before. Why it stood out so much, when you have a dream that seems so real, but this didn't just seem like a dream that was real. Now it was a memory. And then these other little memories just kept opening up. It was these little memories were just starting to, I don't know how to explain it, but be released or something. But I would dream them. I would remember this as if it happened. And I know it sounds crazy as I'm saying it, but I mean, that's just the way it was. But then my anxiety kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I just couldn't get this out of my mind. The whole incident of, you know, the seeing this UFO, I couldn't. That's where I was introduced to Whitley Strieber, actually, because I got the book Communion. Because I wanted to learn anything. I became obsessed, I feel like, about wanting to find out what that was. And in this cabin that we lived in, like I said, we had no electricity, and it would be so dark in there. And I would be afraid to wake up and not be able to see where I was. And so I would try to find little lights, or I'd keep a flashlight with me, because I became afraid. And actually, I'd have to say that fear has followed me till today of going to sleep. I can't go to sleep without having a light on somewhere. I still have a light on till now. Grown man, 50 years old, I still keep a light on. I don't know. It affected me that much, even till now. But like I said, these dreams were I'm having these dreams, and it's as if I'm recalling memories. And then I had a dream that I was older. Because as I'm dreaming these things, but as I'm dreaming them, it's like going in a chronological order forward in age. And it's like I'm dreaming about different incidents where I've actually already seen it. So when I thought that was the first time I ever seen, you know, UFO or something like that, it's like I started to have these recollections in a chronological order through these dreams. Then it would be gaps, and then I would be a little older. And then another gap, and I'd be a little older, as if I was, you know, if I were to look back at it now, it would be as if I'd have to say it was as if I was being visited like at different times in my life, and like maybe, you know, every couple of years or something. But at that age, you grow so fast, I could tell the difference in myself in these dreams. And then those dreams caught up with my current age at the time. And I dreamed that I was in a room, and it was just a metal room, and it was cold. I don't know what I was sitting on, but I know that I couldn't move, but I was sitting, but sitting up, not sitting down. I was kind of being held up. I was having that anxiety. I started having that anxiety in that dream. I realized I'm nude. I don't have any clothes on. And that was why I was so cold. I guess it's the, you know, when you recall the grays, there were three of them in there. As I'm having this anxiety attack, I start to feel emotional thinking about this. But this one started to speak to me as if to calm me down, but it felt like as if it was a female. I realized they had placed something on me and it actually hurt. And they just walked out. And then I don't remember anything after that, because I don't remember if I woke up or what, but that's where that memory stops. That kept following me. We moved away from there and we moved to another place in Livingston, Texas. The place that we lived in, there were offices at the bottom and apartments at the top. And we had an apartment and an office, you know, we had the apartment above the office. And I remember thinking in my bedroom there, I don't know why, but I was thinking, well, at least we're up here. They can't get to me. And it was so weird. I'd have thoughts like that, but I wouldn't think about it any other time, but it would just be certain moments that it would strike me like that. I went in the room, I saw the window, and I went to the window and I looked down and I said, well, at least they can't get to me here. They can get to you there. And they did. And it continued on through the time that I was there through high school. And my anxiety just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it was getting to where I would hide, because I'd start to hyperventilate. The more I tell this, it's just the crazier I feel like I sound. I remember seeing a doctor. They wanted to put me on Ritalin. When they gave me this medication, all I know is it made me like a zombie. And when I was on that medication, things stopped for a little while. Then I guess I say for a little while, I think it was like in the very beginning, things stopped. But then I started to wake up with them in there with me in this bedroom that I thought was safe, thinking for some reason that on the second floor was safe. And I'd wake up with them there and I couldn't move. And that continued on through the time that we were there, and we moved again. And it continued as we moved from place to place to place that we moved to. And eventually it tapered off, and to where at least either it wasn't happening or I couldn't recall it, as you know, as far as those incidents happening.
Based in southeast coastal Georgia, Coastal Preparedness Supply is dedicated to helping ordinary folk achieve advanced preparedness and maximum self-sufficiency under any circumstances at affordable prices. Their message is simple: plan ahead before disaster strikes. In these unprecedented times, it's vital to be prepared. Whether it's the looming threat of war or another pandemic, a power outage, or even a job loss, you can always be ready to help not only yourself, but friends, family, neighbors, and even strangers as well. Full spectrum preparedness is essential as uncertainty mounts. Coastal Preparedness Supply is here for you. Whether you're new to prepping or well seasoned, casually interested or passionately devoted, visit coastalprepsupply.com/UFO now to take advantage of a site-wide holiday season discount, and use the discount code UFO at checkout for free shipping on selected items, or hit the link below to access this offer. Again, that's coastalprepsupply.com/UFO. Coastal Preparedness Supply, your one-stop shop for all your survival and emergency preparedness needs.
But I will have to say, there was another incident that happened. It was near Cleveland, Texas. We went to visit someone's home, stayed at their home for a couple of nights while they were out of town. My father and myself, my brother. We were staying there because my mom went home to visit her family. And so we stayed there to watch these people's home for them for, you know, I think like a weekend or something. And it was pretty much in the woods. It was dark. We were watching TV and we just heard this, I guess it's like an explosion. We couldn't tell. It sounded like something hit the ground. You could feel the ground shake. We all jumped up and we ran outside to look to see, you know, what was that? And couldn't see anything really, of course. It was so dark. And my dad, he was like, get in the car. We're going to go find it. We get in the car and we're driving down this dirt road. And he was driving down this dirt road with his lights off to try to see if he saw anything, you know. And those places, you know, now I'm used to being, you know, on the Gulf Coast. You just can't see the sky proper here. But there, you know, you can see the Milky Way and, you know, you see all these stars in the sky. It was beautiful. And as we're going down watching, you know, trying to look in the sky and see, you know, is there anything there, any moving things, whatever. There was, I don't know how many helicopters. The people talk about the flat triangular shaped craft, and it was going so slow. I don't know how the heck it was staying in the air, because it was going so incredibly slow. And these helicopters were all around it. And it was as if they were escorting this thing. And where we were, Cleveland, Texas, and the direction they were going was toward Houston and in that direction. Now, this place isn't, there's actually a famous case. I don't remember if it's in New Caney or Splendora. And I don't remember their names, but it was the two women and the child where this was back in the 70s, I believe, 70s or early 80s, that time period, I believe. But anyways, these are the ones where I recall that the woman, I believe they had like radiation effects on them. And one of them like burning their hand on the car. And I think it really affected the child mentally. You know, when I went to look back and try to learn more about, you know, other places that there were sightings, I realized like there were sightings happened pretty often in that area. On Highway 59, as you're leaving Shepherd, it comes to a point with like the old highway coming out of Shepherd and then the newer Highway 59 coming out of Shepherd. And right in that point, there was a Shell gas station and my mother worked there. And this would have been before I saw the UFO that I saw in the field. She saw a triangular craft, but I didn't know about this until later after I told her what I saw that day. That's when she told me, oh yeah, I saw, you know, this. She told me that she had called my dad and my dad went outside and was trying to watch for it because really as the crow would fly where we were, it was kind of a straight direction where she said it was going. It would have come, you know, over where we lived, but I don't believe my father actually saw it. But another story she told me later on in life, which is so wild, this makes me think something's not right about this. But she told me that whenever I was a kid and I was in school, now remember I said, whenever I was coming back during the time I saw that UFO in the field, when I came to the field and then turned left, that corner there, that corner property, we had lived there when I was younger. And then we later moved to the other cabin that was in that canopy of trees. So at this time, though, it was when we lived on this corner property, and that was directly in front of that field. And my mother told me that when no one was there, we were at school and my dad was at work. She said a helicopter came. She said she was outside watering the garden and she remembered a helicopter go and land in that field and then come up and come toward her while she was standing there in the yard and it land in the yard and that there was a man staring at her. And then after a while, because she said she started walking backward because she was scared and then helicopter lifted up and left. And then the craziest thing she said, I didn't know there were helicopters that didn't make sound. So to her, this helicopter, and I'm doing air quotes here, this helicopter she saw wasn't making any sound. So I don't know what kind of experience that was with her. If somehow something happened and it was imprinted on her. She remembers it differently. I have no idea, but you know, that also was strange. I would have to say, for the most part, my experience, one of the things it did was, because I was 15, I would have to say I was a pretty open-minded, you know, guy anyway, but it made me realize to keep an open mind, because I knew at that time, I'm not going to be able to tell the story to just anybody and them either just believe me or not tell me I'm crazy or tell me I'm full of crap. It was, you know, those options were more likely to happen than someone saying, really, tell me about that. You know what I mean? This is just going to be not happening in that type of way. And my best friend, he did not like to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it. And one of the reasons he didn't want to talk about it is because it bothered him more, because he would bring it up to me. He would say, man, something happened to you. Something happened to you. And I'm like, why do you say that? He said, there's no way you ran home and ran back, but it was morning right after, and like they had all gone to sleep. He's like, dude, something happened to you, man. I just didn't remember anything happening. I just remembered what I saw. And so to me, I just saw like what I told you, this, you know, saw the UFO, that whole experience, went back, told them. And, you know, that was what I saw. I didn't see anything else until later on. I started, you know, having these, you know, dreams. And I wouldn't say reoccurring dreams, but it would just be, like I said, following this line. And then I would have to say, like, the last dream that I did have about, you know, having a dream from something that may have happened, I actually dreamed after the dream that I had where I was in that room with those three, I guess, grays, whatever they are. There was a dream that I had where I was at that field watching that. In the dream, I had fallen down, or on my back as if I had fallen down. It bothered me so much because I knew that I had never actually fallen down. I never fell down. But I dreamed, when I would dream about that for some reason, and that was a dream that would be recurring, that I would dream. And I almost feel like it was recurring because I wouldn't accept it for some reason, because I felt like, no, I lived that. I was actually there and that did not happen. The other things, as I said, they weren't recurring dreams. Those dreams started from whatever age of like 5, I believe, up until the age of 15 to that actual incident. But it was that incident, the dream about that incident. It was, things were right up until like this whole I'm on my, you know, falling down thing. And I mean, so I guess maybe that may have been, if I'm going to just go along with it and say, okay, yeah, I was abducted, man. If I'm going to go along with that, I guess I would say that maybe that incident that happened, that was at that time. Otherwise, I don't know. But yeah, that was a recurring dream. And then, like I said, I guess I just couldn't accept it or wouldn't accept it. And eventually I just thought, okay, I guess it's a possibility. And then I stopped having the dreams. But I mean, really, that pretty much sums up my, you know, as far as like the UFO stuff goes. But yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Made me have an open mind for things that I may not believe. You know, I may hear someone saying, because as I'm saying to you, that I know I sound crazy when I'm saying this. I know that if I was listening to this, I would probably be like, mm-hmm. So I knew that then, that if I tell anyone, that's how it would be received. But obviously, I actually saw it. So yeah, it helped me to have an open mind to things. And I'm actually grateful for that, if nothing else. I'm grateful for it helping me to keep an open mind, because I think that's important when you hear someone who is telling you about something, that they're giving you a sincere story that may sound just crazy. But, you know, for that person, that was their life. They lived it. But yeah, that's pretty much it for that.
Interesting stuff, Michael.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. In a way, still till now, to me, it's just, on one hand, these things happen. Well, I know the thing, what I saw, I know that happened. It was, there's nothing that can change that. Yeah, no, I know that. And then, like I say, there was, I say, physical evidence. I had never heard of angel hair before my father said that. But then again, like I said, I'd never heard of are known about abductions other than like the cow mutilations, cattle mutilations. But it was after that, later on, I did see an episode, and this like blew me away. I don't remember what show it was, but it was they were talking about like some UFO that came down to a college. And I guess this was back in the 40s or 50s or something like that. And this UFO had come and down on this campus. It had that same kind of stuff falling out of it, some sort of white cotton candy looking stuff. And I heard them call it angel hair. That's the only time I've ever heard that again, from what I saw. So I don't know how my father knew to call it angel hair. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's been several instances where there's been a UFO encounter of some sort, and there's been this strange substance reported. Not actually just UFOs, it's been reported around manifestations of Mary in the past, but it's something that's been around for a good while. And I think you were talking about the Cachalandrum, Dayton, Texas.
Okay, Dayton. Okay, yeah. It either happened there, or they were from there, or they were from the other place and it happened there. But I do know somehow, it's either New Caney or Splendora plays in there somehow. I just don't remember. Or maybe one of them was from there and the other was from Dayton. I don't really recall. But I believe they had gone to play bingo or something. And when they saw that, I could be wrong, but I believe that's what happened.
I think they'd gone out for a meal or something. And that was in, I think it was 1980 when that happened.
Okay.
You know, it's a very big state and there was a lot of historic sightings from the Lone Star State.
Yeah, I didn't realize how many until I started to look back and see, like, you know, I was just trying to see what I wanted to do was see where were sightings reported so I could kind of plot it out and see, like, where was it happening in Texas? I didn't realize there were so many.
There sure is a lot. When you saw back in 1988, you know, you're out, you were camping, you were fishing and saw this first object in this field. What size would you give this object?
I would have to say that when it was in the back. Now, one thing that I did forget to say, whenever it was in that field in the back corner and it looked like a globe or it was like a ball, at that time, you know, when someone walks in front of a light, you know, even at a distance, you can see that someone walks through there. It did seem like there was some sort of movement in front of that light. Now, I did forget to say that. It did seem that there was, and actually that was one of the reasons that I was really confused, because I thought, no, it couldn't be Mr. Schrader's tractor because he has two lights on his tractor. And then I saw that and then I thought, okay, well, maybe it is him. Maybe one light just went out. And I never really thought about that until later, you know, that, okay, something was outside of that. You know, at some point I saw that movement. So I don't know what was out there. As far as the size, it was about 15 feet wide and about, well, whatever it was, the when it turned into the pyramid shape, it kind of morphed into different shapes. But when it was the ball, as far as wide, it looked like maybe 15 to 18 feet wide and 6 to 7 feet tall. I don't believe it could have been taller than that.
Between the first and the second object across the lake, do you think they were the same object?
You know, actually, I couldn't say, because I watched the first one go into the sky, go up until it turned into like a speck. And I wondered, were there other ones around? Could it have gone up and then came back down somewhere else? Blue light of the one that came across the lake was a deep blue color. And a matter of fact, as we were walking behind it, because like I said, it was going so slow. It was going slow. We were walking a slow pace. We weren't trying to hurry to catch up or anything, barely floating. And it was tree level. And now that one, though, actually was smaller. I would have to say, I don't believe it may have been the same, because that seemed smaller. And I remembered thinking, like, maybe this was like some kind of probe or something that came out of the other one. But I don't know that. I just know that it was a deeper blue color and it seemed to be smaller and was like a size of like a large beach ball. And then with the light coming off of it, the light looked almost tangible. If you could see the light coming off of it, I think it was the light that was coming off of it made it look larger. Like I said, it was going really slow. It's so dark out there. We were walking by the light that it was shining down in that path, because otherwise it would have been pitch black. We couldn't have walked through there without that light. We didn't grab a flashlight. We didn't think to grab one. We were just so in awe of this light. And remember my friend putting his shoes on. We walked behind it and we walked in the light of it that it was casting there. Because otherwise, like I said, it would have been too dark. We couldn't have walked through there without a flashlight. But it was lighting this place up. Other one lit up that entire area underneath that canopy. It was like these rays of light coming through. It just lit that whole place up. The other one was like a lighter. It was like a white blue, and that one was a dark blue.
So it was illuminating all the surroundings, the canopy of the trees, and it was producing enough light so you had enough visual to follow.
Absolutely.
And then it went in the same direction as the original object, to the same field.
Right. Yes, it went to the very same place. So like I said, I was telling my friend, telling him how everything happened, how, you know, and it came up and it went here and then it went back and I went in the house. And, you know, I was telling him the whole story. But it went back, I say, basically from where I remembered the other one being when it went up. That's where this one went. It went there. And like I say, the light changed on it. And another thing that is always bothering me, they moved so fast. They were so fast, but it didn't make any kind of speeds they were going. You would think there would be some sort of sound, if not like a sonic boom, but you would think there would be some sort of sound. Not the slightest whisper, nothing. No hum, nothing. No sound at all.
Even when it was moving across the lake and then at the path, there was no zero sound, complete silence.
Right.
And when did the dreams that seem to have been going a linear age path, when did you have your final one? When did that cease, the dreams?
And I was in my 20s. I'd have to say that I was probably about 25 or 26, I believe so. And what's so odd, I actually talked to Art Bell and Bud Hopkins one night, kind of. I wanted to call and talk. Every time I saw, you know, heard Bud Hopkins was on, man, I was on the line. I wanted to talk to Bud Hopkins. I wanted to tell him my story. And I did talk to them. I was the last caller that they ran out of time. And I was the guy that was, I was able to tell America good night. Yeah, 98, 99, not, probably 98.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, I tried, man. I tried for a long time and I finally got in and it was, I was able to tell them a little bit. Think about it. I actually told them about the metal thing in my fingernail. And I don't remember what Bud Hopkins said, but that was like the end of the show. So I did get to say that. And then it was, okay, it was like good night to America, right? You know, that's another thing. I was saving those things under my nail. I was saving those and I would put them in a, like this pimento jar. They kept coming back. They had come back so many times. I found a way to get them out without, you know, cause I was like cut like a line in my thumbnail with a needle just going back and forth until I could get to that. And I found a better way to get to it so I could just get it from the, you know, like the front point and pull it out. And I was saving those things. And then one day they were gone. I have no idea what happened to them. They were just gone. Because I kept that jar in the same place. And then I was going to tell someone about, because see, that's the thing. Like my friend, he didn't like to talk about it. My brother, he wasn't thrilled to talk about it, but you know, he would, but he wouldn't bring it up. Me on the other hand, no, I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it. I wanted to know what it was. I wanted to know as many people as I could who had experienced that. I wanted to talk about it. I was very open about it.
Your dream stopped about 25, 26. What about in the last 25 years? Has there been any incidents which kind of stand out in any way?
Well, I have seen things, but I don't recall. Now, if we're, you know, just staying on the topic of UFOs, that I have seen some UFOs, but nothing to the degree that I saw at the time when I was 15. I actually tried to take pictures of something that I saw after this was after Hurricane Katrina. See, I live here on the, like I said, on the Gulf Coast. And after Katrina, all the lights were out, you know, so you could actually see the sky. And so I thought, I'm just going to go and look while it's so dark and put it on a, timer, whatever, to, you know, take pictures at night. And I was setting my camera up, just propping it up and taking pictures over the water. It was so odd. I even called, when I did have the the picture. I called it crazy, or that's what I titled the picture, labeled it, because there were three. But in one of the pictures, I have no idea what it was, but there was a green light in there, and it had like a tracer behind it. But of course, you know, it was on a slow shutter speed for being, you know, nighttime. And all I can say is, as far as this goes, like, you know, I didn't see a light in the sky. I was standing there waiting for the camera to finish this long exposure picture. I never saw a light, but there was like green light, but I never saw it with my own eyes. And so, you know, when it comes to things like that, I tend to think like, okay, maybe it is a legitimate something, but also it's a digital camera and maybe it was a something else. I don't know. Not to the degree that I saw.
No dreams or anything like that. So it's been pretty quiet since the age of 25, 26.
But as far as like dreams, I really think that for the most part, those dreams stopped. And it was odd, but when I was in my 30s, I started to have that first dream that I had before when I was younger of those lights coming out of the lake. I say they're coming out of the lake. I couldn't see the lake in the dream. I was standing in that field beside the lake, and there was a tree line that went around the lake at that portion of the lake, and the lights were coming up from the other side of those trees, right? Because it was just been this tree line and the lake on the other side. Now, where they came from exactly, I don't know. They could have just floated over there the same as the blue one floated that we followed on foot, but they were coming up out of from the other side and then back down into the field, and they would bounce around, and the other ones look like coins wobbling, I guess to call it. I started to have that dream again when I was in my 30s, but I don't know why. I do want to say this. I know this is off topic from UFOs, but there's something, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Saratoga lights. I'm sure you've probably heard of like the Marfa lights.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, there's also something called Saratoga lights, and it's in Saratoga, Texas. It's me and that same guy, my friend that was camping with me. We had heard about this light, and now at this point, we were, I think about 18 or 19, and we wanted to go see this for ourselves. We wanted to go and check it out. And we brought our girlfriends with us. They wanted to go. And we found out later that was going to be a bad idea. But we went and we sat, and you're just on this dirt road and it's just pitch black. And sure enough, there was a light that came out, and it back and forth. And it was so hard to tell. It's, you know, to judge the distance of it from you. And it started out at a distance, and it was the color of the light would change from like an orange to a red color, and sometimes to like a yellow color, but always like a yellowish and orangish, reddish colors. And then it would just change in size. But it was going back and forth across this road. Now, of course, the story is like many of this dirt road. Now, I believe this is true, though. That dirt road is on top of an old railroad track. But the story is, of course, that it's some guy that worked on the railroads or something and would walk with the lights to check the tracks, then somehow fell on the track or something. And, of course, the train come and he lost his head, and now he's looking for his head. That's a story. But I've heard that same kind of story so many times for so many of those types of things. I don't know what it is, but I will say we did see that light, and it was going back and forth across the road. Now, the girls with us, they started to, like, panic. But me and my friend, we're like, nah, we're waiting to see what this is. We're going to wait. That thing came back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and slowly toward us, until it actually got right there. We were in a truck. It was an old C10 Chevy. I believe it was a C110 or C10, full-size Chevy truck. And that light came through the cab of that truck. And it was so weird because it turned inside of that cab. It lit up inside of there. And why I say it was bad for us to have brought our girlfriends with us is I didn't know it at the time, but my girlfriend, it was so weird. They were screaming, but I couldn't hear them as that light was coming through. But my girlfriend had latched on to my arm and her fingernails were just embedded into my arm, but I didn't know it until after that thing come through. And it was so odd. And I have to say, now my friend, he said he experienced the same thing. It was as if things got slow or something. I could see both of those girls screaming and I couldn't hear them, but it wasn't a normal scream. It almost looked like they were froze. And as the light passed through, it was like someone turned the volume up, you know, the sound come back on and they were screaming so loud. And yeah, I had some, her fingernails dug at me and my friend, I don't remember. I think she scratched him too or something. I don't remember, but I know that my girlfriend at the time, she was very unhappy with us. That was another thing that me and him experienced together that, you know, was really cool. But again, what's so odd was that after we saw that, I was very open about it, but he didn't like to talk about it much. It's kind of odd how different people respond. I think he didn't believe it was even going to be there. I didn't know. When he invited me to go, I had never heard of that before. And so I was kind of excited to go. And actually, I had never heard of the Marfa lights. I didn't hear about the Marfa lights until I was, you know, much older.
The lights of Saratoga, I'm pretty sure I've had a guest on that have also seen the same lights, but they're interesting. And these lights, balls of lights, you have a lot of interest in Texas.
Yeah, you know, when I think about it, well, you have the Marfa lights, you have the Saratoga lights, and I believe there are some other ones. And the thing about it is that the Alabama Coushatta Native Americans that live there, a friend of mine, Wendell, he told me about those lights and about where he lived on the Alabama Coushatta Reservation, that they saw them there. And he was like really into, you know, his Native American roots and things like that. And he would tell me about these lights that they had on the reservation, but he would tell me these stories. Now, the thing is, I wish I could remember the stories, but you have these tales about them. And so whereas these, I'm hearing the stories of, you know, it was the guy who lost his head working on the train track, when then he's telling me like it was some sort of, you know, some kind of spirit thing or, you know, or spiritual thing with these, you know, with the Native American tribe that he was from. And I guess it was probably the same with other tribes. I don't really know.
Yeah, all these stories from legend, they get passed down. Sometimes, you know, the details get changed and they, you know, it becomes a little bit more modernized. Good stuff, Michael. Interesting.
As far as I have, I think that's pretty much it.
Michael, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Oh, no problem, Nick. I appreciate you having me.
It's been great talking to you.
All right, thank you. You too.
All right, buddy. All right, you take care of yourself, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Take it easy.
That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Michael for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back on Thursday. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.